Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Topaz-Rose.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Tonight, no stitch and chat tonight. No, I got that wrong. No stitch hour tonight. Because it's, you know, Wednesday, like Thanksgiving's tomorrow. And
right.
Now, we could do a show and 6 and 4 year old grandsons could join us. Now, that would be a show. Yeah, they're.
Do they stitch? Do they craft? What do they have to show?
Well, I do have a story for that.
Oh.
Okay. Not for Connor. He's the 4 year old. But Cooper, the 6 year old, is in kindergarten and they're learning to read. And so every week they have sight words. Because you build up that base of words that you just recognize on sight.
Right.
And so he has to do those. So they have little sheets of activities that you do to help you do sight words, like write them on Post-it notes and then hide them and then do hide and seek, you know, find them and write them on in different colored pencils and blah, 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 blah. Well,
okay.
The last time Connor was here, Cooper, the last time Cooper was here and stayed overnight, we had to work on his sight words. Well, he loves to come up in the studio, and we get the 4 foot table that I always keep empty. We get that out, and then he likes to crank it up because it's an adjustable height, and then sit on the chair and work because he has this massive 4 foot by 2.5 foot table. You know, he can just be king of the world. And
nice.
So while he was working on his sight words and writing them and stuff, I thought, you know, I have a scrap of cloth over here and some thread. Well, obviously, I have thread, but I have this scrap of cloth. So what I did was I gave him a needle and thread and had him stitch 3 or 4 of the sight words.
Oh, cool.
Just, you know, just running stitch.
Yeah.
But he'd never done it before. So I had to knot the thread into the needle because that kept pulling out, of course. Because
right.
You know, you can't ask a six-year-old to keep it from slipping out. And see, you knot it in and make a knot on the end. You know, you have to simplify it way down. And, but he stitched the words. And then we did the other things. And we put them all in his folder. Well, he took them to school. And you have to show what you did. Well, he, of course, was so proud of it. And he showed. And then they took a picture. His teacher took a picture because she'd never seen it done. That was one thing she'd never seen done. And then they posted it on the school Instagram page.
So that's cool.
Yeah, he was hero for a day there. Yeah.
You're going to have to put the picture on so we can see.
Well, I should get that. Yeah, I'll have to get that, see if I can get it from the school. Yeah.
That's cool.
But, yeah, so that's, yeah.
How fun.
He was so proud of himself, you know.
That's awesome.
And I realized later the scrap I had was probably a very expensive piece of linen I bought for surface embroidery. But, yeah, so what? He
so
had fun.
You taught a kid to stitch. It's worth it.
Yeah, I'm really good at this. Oh, Cooper. Cooper, you are outstanding at it. Yep.
Yeah.
He had so much fun.
Oh my
gosh. Cool. Yeah. It was cool.
That's awesome.
Yep. So
yay.
I think we'll pass on the show tonight with the boys. That would be chaotic. Yeah. That would be chaotic. Then Sunday. Funny. Sunday, I'm going to, instead of a podcast, we're going to have a video. I have to tidy up a bit, but I'm going to do a video of my studio so people can see, because I've talked about it enough, but you know, here's how it's put together and what it is. So maybe people will get an idea or two. I don't know.
So do we get to see your whip stash and you're going to go through them all and show us?
That would be a big fat no.
Your closet of shame?
That would be a big fat no. Yeah, no. We're not going to do that.
Aw. No. I showed mine.
That would be a big fat no. Yes.
Some of it. Well, no, I actually showed finished stuff that needed framing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was different. Yeah. No, we're not going
to
show.
All you have to do is take a picture of my, just look at my sewing room when we're in the live videos and you will see my piles.
Yes.
In progress, things everywhere.
Yes. We're not doing that. We're going to show the tidied up, sanitized, everything in order room. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's nobody's going to recognize what it is.
I won't.
Because nobody knows what a clean stitching room looks like.
I know.
What's that?
You know, and all the promises I made to keep it tidy, and it has just piled up. And a part of the problem is when we do those stitch and chat shows, mm-hmm. you know, stuff comes out to show because people wonder and so on.
Yeah.
And then I make it a point most of the time to put it back, but I'm not really good at it. And
yeah.
So now it's got to all get put back where it belongs, and I got to reclaim my main working tabletop.
Yeah.
But I have been good about that 4 foot table that I said I would always keep empty so I could wheel it into service at any moment and have a big open surface. And I have been very good about that. That stays empty. I've got two things sitting on it right now that are in transition, but otherwise, I've been good about that. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Nice.
The rest of it.
Man,
yeah,
I wish I could keep mine.
Yeah.
I know, because I bring out, you know, it's like I get working on a project and then suddenly the other one, it's like, ooh, I want to work on this one. So you get it out, but you're still working on the other one. So I'm working on two at a time. But then, ooh, I forgot about my WIPCO projects. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to get those out because I need to work on them before the end of the month. So then I have 4 or 5 projects out going at the same time, plus a crochet Afghan, plus, you know, paper piecing. It's like, it's chaos.
Yep. Well, I need some tidying up around here. But anyway, so Sunday we'll have a video of the workroom all cleaned up and sanitized mm-hmm. and dusted, everything. So we'll
Nobody
do that.
Will know what it is.
Ooh. Yep. The next Wednesday will be Stitch and Chat, and then the 8th, December 8th, mark it on your calendar, because Kathy Andrews is going to come back. Now, we talked about it a little bit in the show on Sunday, this past Sunday, mm-hmm. Her art stitching and how she uses needlework to work through things.
Yeah.
And she is a breast cancer survivor. And we saw some of this. You can see it in the video that Beth and I did at the EGA thing. You can see some of her work. But mm-hmm. she is a breast cancer survivor, and she did a whole series of pieces, freeform art, needlework pieces, all the way through expressing her different emotions and feelings all the way through the process. And,
right.
And then including some encouraging words from her daughters and that kind of thing. And she put together a video of it, and I asked her if she would be willing to talk about it on a show, and she said, sure. So on the 8th, Kathy is going to join us, and we'll look at that artwork and have her talk about what she was experiencing at that time and how she's expressing it and so on and so forth. It's a very moving piece, very moving series of pieces. And
that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so that...
bring your Kleenex.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Now, when I watched the little video she put together that takes you all the way through it, I had to get out of Kleenex.
Oh, my goodness.
Admire anyone who's battled through that kind of stuff. And So that'll be on the 8th. So mark that down. Tell your friends you do want to see that and see how she got through it, how needlework helped her get, you know, needlework didn't do all of it, believe me.
Right. But emotionally, though.
Yeah. But it's an outlet, an expression, a way to get through very difficult, challenging times. Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine what goes through your mind through that process. But
Cause stuff like that, not only do you need the physical help, you need the emotional help.
Right.
Because it's not just a physical disease.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's just it. I don't even want to dig into it, but
Anyway,
she's going to, and of course you can't even talk about it if you've never experienced it, because I don't think you have a clue.
Right. Empathize and maybe imagine a little, but you just won't ever know until it happens to you.
No.
So.
Some dark nights and long days and I'm not touching it. Nope. So anyway, that will be on the 8th. We'll get to experience that through Kathy's eyes and her needle and thread, and looking forward to that. That'll be an experience.
Nice.
So coming up. Now, last
so did
week.
You,
what?
Hmm? Did you go back and look at those pieces that she said were the rosashi? I hadn't had a chance yet. But remember, she talked about the rosashi pieces
that
at the EGA?
No, I didn't either. No.
But like, she got me all... Like, her mom talked about it, and it sounded cool, and
you
talked
about
it.
Now you're getting
Kate, now I've got the bug.
You're getting Kate Festo and Kathy Andrews mixed up.
Oh, yeah. Kate. Oh, that's right. I am. Oh, I'm you so are. Bad.
Now, the Kate Festo yes. stuff that I thought was Needlepoint, yes, I did go back and look at that to see that it was Rosashi and see the difference. Yes. Right.
Yes, I got them confused. It's because I listened to like 3 podcasts in one day.
Sorry. That'll happen. Yes. Yes. So, yes, my Kate fault. Kate got you wound up a little bit on Rosashi, yes.
Now I'm like, I'll try Rosashi. It sounds fun. Anyway. Yep.
So Kathy Andrews on the 8th. And then last week when Beth and I were rambling on about all kinds of our whips and our, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Heard from 2 people who wanted to know how WhipGo works.
Right.
And from stem to stern. And I knew we were doing this week, so
right.
I know an expert. So take us through this WhipGo in less than half an hour. Take us through how this WhipGo works so that we can have an understanding. Because it's WhipGo, which is the version, the needlework version of Bingo.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, 5 letters and 5 down. So it's a 25 block. 5x5 grid, 25 individual blockies.
But you make up a grid.
Yeah, you make up your own grid. There's no template that I am aware of. People on the WhipGo. So there's a Facebook group called WhipGo, and they usually change it to whatever the year is. So like right now it's WhipGo 2021, and then I think at the beginning of the next year she'll change it to WhipGo 2022. But it's the same group. She just slightly changes the name. And so people on there have asked, like, oh, is there a grid or anything anywhere? I don't think there is. Everybody just makes up their own. You can do it on paper, computer, whatever. You just make up a grid. You choose your own rules for yourself.
Okay.
The only thing that the WhipGo lady does, and I forget her name, and I could look it up, but I don't have any of my stuff with me right here. The only thing she does is pull the numbers. And it's numbered 1 through 25, starting at the top, 1 to 5, and then what is it, 6 to 10, and, it goes across like that.
Okay, so 1 to 5 across, 6 to 10 across, 11 to 15, 16 to 20, 21 to 25. Okay.
Right. Goes across like that, and the one in the middle, I think, is 13.
Okay.
That's your free space. Now, you can put a project in there or not. It's your choice. You do what you want with that space. But there will be a month where she calls 3 numbers somehow. How did she do that? I don't know. Anyway, she pulls the numbers. So if she pulls 13, then she'll pull another number. So there will be one month that has 3 numbers, and it's just because she pulled the free space.
Okay. All right, now back up.
Right.
Because see, now you've lost me already.
I already got you confused. Okay.
Okay, so let's back up to the beginning. All right, so we have this grid numbered 1 to 25 across.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I put in the grid?
Whatever you want.
Okay, so I pick out my whips, however many I have, I put them in however I want them, but I put one in each grid, or if I only have 5 whips, then I would put them in multiple times.
Who only has 5 whips?
Well, I'm saying,
I'm teasing. Yes. That's like some of mine I had in there multiple times. Like, so next month, the 2 numbers that she's going to call for December, because November she's already called them. So the December, they're my thing that I put in twice. They're both. So 1 month is the same project.
Oh, okay.
Because both the numbers where that Modern Folk Embroidery thing is, mm-hmm. both of those numbers are left, which means it's Modern Folk Embroidery all month long.
Okay. So I fill these in. So at the beginning of 2022, then I make a grid and I fill in whips. And so like in my case, I would have to select 25 from the ridiculous number and fill those in. But if I want to make progress on something more than something else, I might put that in 2 or 3 times and leave off something.
Sure. Right. So, yeah. If you're I really want to work on this, you can put it in multiple times.
Okay. So I make some calls up front, and then that's my grid for the year.
Right.
Okay. And then she pulls two numbers a month?
Right. Two numbers a month, and she'll post them in the Facebook group.
Okay, so then those are my two numbers. So then what do I do with that then? So then
you go to your WIPCO board and you look at those two numbers and what's in those boxes.
Okay.
Spring Hill and Dawn to Dusk.
All right.
So whatever, and then you set your own goal. Like, what do you want to do with these things? Do you want to work on it every single day? Do you want to reach a certain point on the chart? People do whatever they want. It's like, I want to completely finish it. Like, if they're close, finish it. Or if it's a big sampler, they're like, I want to get three motifs done, you know? Or I want to reach this point or whatever you like. My goal is I work on whatever the project is 1 hour for 7 days.
Okay.
1 hour. Any 7 days I want. It can be 3 days at the beginning of the month and four at the end. It can be spaced out however I want. Just 1 hour, 7 days.
Okay.
And since I forgot about my WIPCOs this month, I'm now going to have to work on my two WIPCOs, each one for an hour every day because I forgot. So I'm going to have to do them both.
So for that month then, when the two numbers that come up, then you're going to put in 7 hours in that month on each of those projects.
Right. And that leaves me plenty of leave room for if I don't feel good. I mean, like 1 month, March last year, I didn't even complete because it was that month where I had headachiness and wasn't feeling good. And my two WIPCO projects happened to be over one stitching. And it's like, why couldn't it have been something that was, you know, now you could, theoretically, it's your own self. You could switch things. Like, I could have been like, I'm not going to be able to handle this. Why don't I switch it with something that's a 14 count?
Yeah.
I could have done that. I didn't. There's no WIPCO police that says you can't do that.
Right. So this sets up a framework then that says in this month, I'm going to put, in your case, 7 hours in on each of two projects in addition to working on other things.
Right.
And then the next month, then two more numbers are drawn, and those two numbers then identify other projects. Again, for you, 7 hours or an hour each, 7 days in the month.
Right.
Okay. So then that gives you, that says, all right, if I meet those goals all the way through the year, then I make significant progress on each of the projects that are in that grid.
Right, because a lot of times you're going to work on it for more than an hour, but if I work on it for 2 or 3 hours a day, I don't count that as like part of the WIPCO. Like I do per day. Like I'm like, yeah, you may have worked on it for 3 hours. That was your choice. You're still working on it for 6 more days.
Oh, okay. So you discipline yourself that way so that
I do.
If you get on a roll and do more, that doesn't count toward your 7 hours. Okay.
But that's my personal choice.
Yeah.
You could do it. Like, if you really wanted it to just be 7 hours, you could be like, that counts to three. I only have 4 more to go.
Yeah.
My personal choice is if you want to keep going on it, keep going. If not, switch projects, but at least you got an hour in.
Yeah.
And like that cottage I was doing, when I finished my 7 hours, the cottage is not finished. I was done with that project. I'm like, I don't want to work on this anymore. Normally, I would finish one of those because they're so small. I was just over it. I didn't want to work on it. For whatever reason, I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
So it got put away halfway done.
Okay. So then you may do more or less, but at least you've met the minimum. So let's say a typical month, which there is no typical month, then you would put in your 7 days, 1 hour on those two projects and set them aside. And say, all right, I've done 7 hours on each of two projects, the two called for projects, and now the rest of the month, I can do whatever I want. And then the next month, when two numbers are drawn, then you go back, and so those are two WIPCO things that are in play again.
Right, and those are my two WIPCO projects.
Yeah.
That
all right.
Get at least your minimums in.
Right.
And then do whatever else it is you want to do.
Yeah. And then for you in 2021, with the exception of a couple of months, this has been a tremendous plus.
Yeah.
In that you have made progress on several things. I mean, I've watched it. You've made good progress on several things that you may or may not have made progress on.
Definitely. Especially that that Catherine sampler.
Mm-hmm.
That one that had, it's like the different bands of, it's that teaching sampler.
Yeah.
That I was like, I would have done just one section, one band and been done, but I still had 7 days. So I had to do more.
Right.
And then because you can't just end a band and not finish it off. Cause
right. Of course.
Just can't. I mean, it's, I had to finish it. I was like, hurry up. And I couldn't wait to put it away. I was like, oh, thank God.
Okay.
And so, you know, when I go to pull it out again, I'll be happy to work on it, but I was just done.
Yeah. All right. So that raises another question then. In this process of disciplining yourself to do this, has that energized you for some projects? Has it turned you off on some projects where you go, oh, all right, I'll fight my way through because it's on the chart, but that's the minimum I'm doing on it?
Yeah, I mean, but that's just a wishy-washy feeling thing.
Okay.
You know, it comes, and it's not that I suddenly hate the project. It's just, for whatever reason, I don't want to switch colors that many times, or
yeah,
something. There's just something I'm like, eh, or something else is really calling me.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just want to work on that, and I don't want to work on this. It's just an emotional feeling thing that, you know.
But nonetheless, you've made progress on that one, even though you're not pumped up about it. You've made good progress on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at one point, I'll go back and be like, ooh, I'll be all ready to go back to it, you know.
Right.
And
see,
I'll have the happy feelings, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. See, that's where I think the true, almost unseen power of this comes in, is those that you're just kind of setting aside and are dragging along. Yeah, you at least are getting somewhere. And then I think, I got to believe that you reach that magic point where you see the end, and then, you know, I'm charging on through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're like, ooh.
I can finish this.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes you just, you rediscover the joy in it where, you know, maybe it wasn't that you lost the joy, but something new came along.
Right.
So you just put it away.
Right.
And then it's shiny and new again, and you bring it back out, hopefully.
Yep. Okay. All right. Now, so there it is. So then you do that. Now, now next year, are you going to have a different set of whips, or are you going to have the majority of them be what you were working on this year, or what are you going to do?
Did I finish any of them? I mean, some of them are just little small individual, like some of my WIPGO pieces are individual smalls from a larger group. Like a set of those flowers are from a set of 12, you know, January through December. Yeah. So I was just like, work on the flower, whatever flower.
Oh, okay.
So I still have more of the flowers to do, even though I did finish one. It was a finish, but not a complete finish of the set.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll probably put on just, you know, the same stuff until I get stuff done.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Now, all right. So that raises another question. Somewhere along, let's say, for instance, you're doing this all along, and July, you finish one of the pieces that's on your WIP code chart. Do you now consider that free time if that number comes up again, that you can do whatever, or do you insert
I would put a new project in. I'd be like, oh, I got that one done. Yay. So I finished it, and it's still over here on the board, not pulled yet. So I'm going to fill it in with something else. I'll substitute something else in.
Okay. So a finish because, during the year then is an opportunity to insert another project. Okay.
Because why be a slacker, you know?
Yes.
This is to help you get through things, not to help you slack off and give you excuses.
Right. So. Okay. And of course, to anyone who doesn't understand needlework, listening to this would go, what is this people's problems that they have so many projects they have to make a chart to make sure they get them done? What is their problem? You know, but well, whatever. It happens.
I didn't used to be this way. I used to be a one project at a time girl. And I would just plow through like that new, the cottages, the village alphabet I'm doing that I just started that I had done the welcome to the like Copazes in the way back in 1995 for my family.
Mm-hmm.
I got, because all I worked on was like that one piece. That's all I did. I finished that thing in probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all I worked on. And then I worked on the next project.
Yeah.
And I did one thing at a time.
Like a normal human. Yes.
I guess. Maybe it was normal back then.
But it ain't now.
Have things changed from in the past? Like, because I've always done, like, this is the first time I've ever, like, had the community of Stitchers. I've always just been my own lone self doing mm-hmm. things. Have people always had multiple things going at a time, or is this a new thing as we've gotten social media and all that kind of stuff?
I think that's a really excellent question. Has social media caused more people to have more projects than they have any business doing? And I would venture it has played a huge role. Yes.
You'd think so.
That's a good question. And I bet you're spot on. Yep.
Yeah. People have to like write in and tell us, like, did you used to only do one thing at a time, but then when you started seeing more and more people doing more and more stuff, did you start doing more things and therefore have more projects going?
Yeah, I think you hit on it. We're all feeding each other's meters and it's getting, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it can get out of control.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. That'd be interesting to hear from people. Yeah. Were you a disciplined one project Jennifer, and then you got on Instagram and started seeing things, and then you got out of control? Yep.
Yeah, and it's like, ooh, I want to do that. Ooh, I want to do that. Ooh, and now I have a group, and now we all want to do this together, and mm-hmm. we want to do that together. And
right.
And I never, like, I never knew about EGA or A&G, and I didn't have a store. I always just went to the Hobby Lobby, found something, bought it, and stitched it.
Yeah.
That's how I did it. I didn't have groups. I didn't have retreats where, you know, at retreats, you do get multiple projects.
Yeah.
But when you get home, do people finish those or do they just work on them at the retreat and then they just languish in their stash for life?
Mm-hmm. Don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Don't know.
Or would you go home and finish those little retreat projects because you didn't have 5,000 other things going?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's that's a good one. That's a good one. Oh boy! All right, it'd be interesting to see if people respond. Let us know if social media
all about it.
Social media has been your culprit. Yeah, and some people will say,
like,
yes, it has.
How did you used to be before?
Yeah, some people will say yes, it has, just to have something to blame other than their own lack of discipline. Yeah,
right. I mean, as soon as I started seeing, like, even with knitting and crochet, I started watching knitting podcasts, and then they're always like, oh, I bought this in new yarn. And it turns into the knitting people, every time they did a podcast, they had to have new yarn. They had to have new bags. They had to have, and it just turns into this shopping spree thing.
Yeah.
And it became less about, it started out showing projects and then ended up just being a big huge commercial for different yarn dyers and different mm-hmm. bag makers.
Well, now see, all right, now there's something else.
You know,
there's another thing that plays into this that I would, now you got me wondering about, what role has floss tube played in this? If you are a regular floss tube person, mm-hmm. in order to have something to talk about each time to show, you know, your hauls and your all the different things that they do.
Right.
In order to have something new each month.
You keep buying.
Yes.
Keep buying and keep buying. And were you buying like that before, or did this prod you on? And then you have the people, the floss tubers, who people just start sending them stuff. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes a floss tube about thanking everybody for all the things they sent you.
Yep.
I mean, it's just interesting how I think maybe social media might have changed the way we do our stitching, and that maybe, see, I don't know though. I don't know if I'm the only one that only did one project at a time back then before social media. I don't know if I'm just the abnormal one and everybody else was always doing multiple projects, and then social media came along and it just was like, oh, then they were like, oh, other people do multiple projects too. I'm not the only one. I don't know.
Well, that's curious. Yeah, that's interesting questions. Yeah, it did. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see what people say.
Curious about it.
Yep. Because you're right in that if you're by yourself, obviously you would tend toward one project. But even if you're a member of an EGA local chapter, you would see each person working on a project and may not really know if they have a bunch more or everybody's working on one because you had a speaker. So
right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, so maybe did people who were involved in EGA and in guilds and stuff, did they tend to have multiple things going on at a time just because they're taking classes and stuff? Whereas I was just stitching in my own little world. I had nobody else that did it.
Right.
It was nobody that I knew. It was me. I was the young little girl doing this granny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, what are you doing? Isn't what my grandmother does that. I'm like, yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Yeah. leave me alone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, those are good questions. We don't have answers. They're good questions. Now, you just started this alphabet thing, this alphabet piece. You find the most, either you already have them or whatever, but you find the most, you have the most interesting pieces. So this alphabet piece that you're starting,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, describe in a second, but the question that came to my mind when you popped that, when that popped up in your Instagram that you were starting on this thing,
mm-hmm.
is, What is it that appeals to you when you look to a project? Because you really do find most interesting pieces. Like that one, the minute I saw it, I thought, wow, that would be fun to do.
Yeah, this is old. Yeah. This is from 1993. The copyright's 1993.
Okay.
And I bought this in Hobby Lobby for $4.68.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I started cross-stitching because it was cheap. I went to the store. I went to Hobby Lobby, which was new for me because in Colorado, they didn't have Hobby Lobby back then. I was in Texas and they had the Hobby Lobby. So I go in and I'm walking around going, what can I do that's cheap? And I came across cross-stitch and that was it.
Okay. So this one, tell people about this one because it's really a neat piece.
Yeah, it's like...
What's it called?
It's kind of The Village Alphabet by Cross My Heart. And Cross My Heart did lots of projects back in the day. Like, they had a lot of books, and if you look them up, you can find lots of stuff. And they had fantastic instructions in the back, like how to wash, how to cross-stitch on linen, how to cross-stitch on Aida. Like, fantastic instructions. I mean, this is back in the day where the cross stitch books were fantastic.
Yeah. So this is an alphabet. Is it a big piece?
Yes. Let's see. I am stitching it on 18 count.
Aida?
Yep. I decided to do Aida because I did the original that Welcome to the like Topazes was on 18 count Aida, but that cream color.
Okay.
So it'll be about 12 by 21.
Ooh, okay. So that's a big one.
Yeah.
So it's an alphabet, and then there's a building with each alphabet or each letter.
Yeah, it's got cobblestone streets. So it's got brick, cobblestone streets. And I remember I loved stitching that brick and then doing the back stitching. Oh, it just made me so happy. I don't know why. And then it's got all the little... The houses are kind of like Victorian-y looking,
mm-hmm.
and the letters are very almost Gothic.
Yeah.
And there's like a castle. I love castles. There's a couple different castle things and gazebo. And it's got bushes, and the bushes have little flowers on. And I remember I loved putting in the little flowers.
Right. Yeah, it has that Gothic medieval... look and feel to it.
Which I love.
But a positive medieval.
Yes, very cheerful.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very cheerful, very warm. It's got a lot of oranges. So I think my, my light blue background is going to work great with all these oranges.
Okay, so what makes
you blue and orange?
Yeah. You know? So what makes you, what attracts you other than the fact you could get it for $4? What are the kinds of things that attract you when
back
it
then,
comes, even now?
I just liked it.
Oh, you just liked it, but
I saw it and I went, ooh, yes.
Okay, nothing specific then.
There it is. Yeah, it has to. When my husband, if we're out and about, and he hears "ooh," he knows it's trouble. He knows "ooh" means money will be spent because I found something that I really like.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a personal
like
feeling that attracts you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an instinctual thing where it just hits me and I like it.
Okay.
That's really it.
There's no specifics.
No, not really. I'm very emotional.
Well, that's okay.
You know,
that's okay. Because for me,
I follow my emotions.
Because for me, it's a challenge. Is there a challenge in there? Is there something I'm going to learn?
Oh no, I don't care about that.
Okay.
It's just, do I like the picture? Do I want to stitch it?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's, yeah, you know, everybody has a different thing. I mean, for me, is there mm-hmm. is there at least a medium challenge in there? Am I going to learn something different? Am I going to work with threads I've never worked with? That kind of thing. I look for that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And of mm-hmm. course, for me, a male type person, a lot of them are just of no interest, you know, because they're,
right.
they're female oriented. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Very feminine, frilly.
Yeah. I just couldn't care less. But mm-hmm. so that eliminates for me a whole bunch of them right out of the gate, like just mm-hmm. right on by. And I think that's why I'm counted canvas work. It appeals to me because so much of that is, you know, it just fits me better.
Right.
But yeah, like a lot of the cross stitch stuff, no thanks.
Yeah.
So.
But I was never afraid of, like, if it had specialty stitches and stuff, that never would deter me. That
yeah.
was never a problem. I was never like, oh, I can't do that. I was like, oh, something new.
Okay,
cool.
So well, let's see.
Whatever. It
yeah.
never bothered me. I was never like, ooh, I don't know.
So no fear of learning something new. That
no.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to stitch it, and I'll figure out the difficult parts if they are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like my WIPCO thing is one of the Teresa Winsler. That mm-hmm. little mini winter sampler, and I'm going to start working on that again later today. And it's got all kinds of stuff in it. It's got cut work with beads and those dove's eyes, and I've never done that before, but I'm going to.
Yep.
And I'll practice on a little scrappy doodly, make sure that I don't screw it up, and then I'll go for it.
Okay, so you do that. You don't just dive in. You pull out a scrap and at least get proficient.
For that, I'll do a... Yeah, for that I'll do a practice for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. I already did, actually, on that one little chicken piece that I restitched because I didn't like the fabric. I kept the one that I didn't finish stitching, and I did the practice on that one. I've got it here somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Because I think that's important. I think it's mm-hmm. important if you come up with something new.
Yeah, especially if you're going to cut, I'd practice.
Yeah, especially if you're going to cut. Yeah.
Practice before you cut. Make sure you know what you're doing. Then do it on your
yep.
your other one, you know.
Yeah. Doodle cloth is your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Now, do you have favorite designers?
I do have some, like Paul Levon, obviously.
Yeah.
Love Paul Levon. I don't know. I like a lot of the Plum Street and stuff just because I like the cute. Rosewood Manor, like, she has such a good variety of things that you could, if you had to stick with one, like you had to pick one designer.
Yeah.
She does such a variety from cutesy to elegant to everything in between, you know.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I just,
yeah. Oh, I agree with Karen. Yeah, I will always say she's the best in the business. Because of that one factor,
mm-hmm.
and that is, she's never in a rut. There's
yeah.
always, and you look at her catalog of things, you're right, from serious to cute to
mm-hmm.
elegant, you know, all of the adjectives that you can
yeah.
haul out, she hits them sooner or later. And
yep.
just when you think you've seen all those things, she's over here on another street doing these other things, like these Halloween things she's been doing lately, are just terrific. And I don't even, I couldn't care less about Halloween, but she really is, you know, like, whoa, right out of left field there. And I think that that's what sets her apart, is that range and versatility that you just don't see.
I do tend to like things that I'm going to display in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of, I don't have a whole lot of bot artwork. Most of the stuff on my walls is stuff I've made.
Okay.
So I've got a lot of cross stitch up and some quilting things up. And so I like things that, like, I have some rose artwork, like some little pictures that we had bought in the Netherlands in our bedroom, that these rose ones that I'm making from Veronique Engineer, whatever, that I'm doing those to replace those.
Okay.
So
see,
and
that's,
I picked them because I want to display it. So I picked some artwork that I want to recreate and put up on my wall.
Yeah. See, that's another factor there that doesn't enter my mind, but it does Margaret's. When she looks at stuff I'm working on, she immediately, I know where that one's going to go. If you know, these days it's always qualified with if you ever finish it, but, that's how she orients toward things is that would look great here. With those colors in this part of the house. And so I couldn't care less. But so you have that. So then
when I think about other things that I've bought that I have in the stash waiting to be done, there's a place for them when they get finished. I could see them going on my wall. I could see them hanging up near the kitchen. I could see them turned into a pillow to be displayed during the summer, during the spring.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a subconscious thing that happens to you when you see that the first time. Interesting.
Yeah, and it is kind of something I think about. If that's really pretty. Where would I put it?
Oh, okay. All right.
That does happen. What would I do with it?
Yeah.
What will it become? Because I like to make my stuff into useful stuff. I mean, Afghans everywhere, quilts everywhere.
Okay. Interesting. For me, it's, is there a challenge? Is there something to learn?
Okay. I guess mine's the usefulness.
Right.
I like to create, but it needs to be useful.
Yeah.
In some way.
All right. So you learn things. Yeah. That's the thing from a male perspective. This stuff, there's a complete, I haven't explored this with other males, but that there's a completely different orientation toward projects that are attractive and or the general stitching than there it is for women. And so it's interesting. So yours is more emotional. Mine's more mechanical, I guess.
Yeah. Mine's emotional and useful. Where's it going to go? What would I do with it? Yeah. Like a lot of the little things, I'm making them into little pillows to put here. I have a purpose for all these things.
Yeah.
That they will be used in the house.
Okay. I learn things.
Yeah. Me too, apparently. I guess I never really thought that deeply about it. Yeah. But when I really think about it, I like it, and then what am I going to do with it? And if I can't think of something that I would do with it, or if it wouldn't go, do I like it enough to buy it then? Probably not, because it wouldn't be useful.
Now, see, there's another aspect. I got no use, from your perspective, I got no use, so maybe I'm not even going to bother with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and like a lot of like the bigger, I have a few, very few larger samplers that I've bought to make, and they are all ones that I look at it, and I'm like, can you picture that in the house, in like a guest bedroom? And if it's yes, then I bought it.
Okay.
But if I couldn't picture putting it up in the house, like that berry bowl sampler, that's going to be perfect in my dining room.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a spot.
Okay. Does that motivate you when you're stitching?
It does. And if I really want something up, man, I'll work on it.
Interesting. Yeah.
But then, so I was working, I'm doing the back stitching on my roses.
Yeah.
But then I found the fabric I wanted for this village alphabet, and it has been wanting me to stitch it for like months. And I've been waiting since like August, and I had to like cancel an order of fabric and find a new fabric because it just wasn't getting done. And it finally came, and I've worked on it, and I've gotten quite a lot of it done. Like, I worked on it all weekend. Just obsessed. And it felt so good.
Yeah. Oh,
so happy.
Yeah. Getting materials. You know, folks, if your needlework store says they can't get materials, they aren't making it up.
And, you know, I just had to decide, you know what? This wants to be stitched now, and I can't wait anymore. I have to find something else.
Yep.
Just if I can't find something else, I'm going to have to learn to dye it because it's getting done. I was getting desperate.
Yep. No, I don't have Pour to Fet. I don't have the threads for it because Jean Lee can't get the threads. Jean wrote to me. She said, "You know, I'll get you the threads as soon as I can. But I just can't. I got half of them, but I can't get the rest of them. And you know, some other.
You can't start with half."
I don't know. I'm sure from a store perspective, you can't have a whole list of partially filled orders too. You know,
yeah. I guess so.
Think about it from that end. If I do a shipment, and then now over on the board, I've got 50 people who I owe a spool of thread to or a skein.
Yeah, you know, that's additional. I think it's complicated.
Well, yeah, and it's additional shipping costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no way. If I were a store, it's complete order or no.
That's true.
Because, yeah, just imagine that nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have a person just keep track of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that could get real complicated.
So, nothing you can do. And of course, from my perspective, yeah, okay, what am I worried about that for? I got a bunch of other ones, you know, I'll just do those. But for someone who is hot to do something and, you know, they placed an order and they expect to get it. I mean, these shop owners are just defenseless. I mean, they're absolutely defenseless. They can't. Because what did she say? It was access commodity. Access commodities was waiting on spools so they could put the thread on the spools.
Oh,
so they could
right.
You know, that's the kind of thing that people are dealing with. I have the thread, but I can't put it on spools to ship it to the shops.
Right.
And so that's a whole nother manufacturing
world.
And
it's probably not easy to retool your machine to use a different type of spool.
No way. Yeah.
You know, like.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a whole nother manufacturing world of plastics and plastic supplies and molding. And, you know, you don't realize where the problem comes from. And they're sitting there with thread, but I can't spool it, so I can't send it to you. And there we are.
Oh boy.
Now it's tough. Tough. You know, and then people are wanting to stitch.
So I had to do what I had to do. Sorry. Yep. You know.
Yep.
The rest of it's just DMC. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have most of the colors already because I've already stitched a lot of this already.
Right.
This will be my third time stitching some of this.
Oh, okay. You know it.
Yeah. And I remember when I was stitching it back then, I loved stitching it. And I'm doing it now and I'm just loving it again.
Yeah.
So.
It's a neat piece. All right. We're going to wrap it up right there, I think. We're going to call it. So No show tonight. A tour of my studio on Sunday. And then... Markdown, December 8th, Wednesday night, December 8th, the Stitch Hour. Kathy Andrews will be with us to talk about her needlework art from the time when she was fighting breast cancer. So make a note. Tell your friends. You're not going to want to miss that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
All right. To all those in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.